The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the new Growing in Faith Bible. It's written for children, grandchildren, and godchildren, ages 8 through 10. The Growing in Faith Bible contains more than 100 Bible stories with beautiful, engaging pictures. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Growing in Faith Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Brothers and sisters, I make this motion in the defiant tradition of Martin Luther. I would like to direct everyone's attention to lines 639 and 640 of the Declaration, which states, I quote, "We must be careful about claiming to know God's judgments regarding another religion," unquote. I am here to speak truth to power, even if it is an inconvenient truth. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do we as Lutherans need to be careful about proclaiming this message? No. Do we need to respect, care for, and love non-Christians? Absolutely yes. I submit that the best way to respect and love our neighbors is to share the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Because the language I seek to strike is plainly inconsistent with the gospel, I move to remove it from the Declaration.
That's Zachary Johnson, a lay delegate speaking earlier this month at the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They did not strike the language. They did not accept his argument from Christ himself that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. My only take on this is that they have rejected Jesus Christ and his words. They were not speaking for every member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but that was the Churchwide Assembly. Welcome back. We're going to be talking with Zachary Johnson about his experience there and what he thinks about the church body he currently holds membership in, about the 2019 Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Zachary Johnson is an attorney in Minnesota and a delegate to the ELCA Churchwide Assembly. Zachary, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
What can you tell us about the ELCA's a Declaration of Interreligious Commitment?
Well, I would just start by saying that I was listening to your podcast yesterday when you had a gentleman there. I don't remember his name, but it was a German gentleman. I thought what he said at the beginning of the podcast is essentially what this is. I mean, I think he said something to the effect that the ELCA is looking to push various social positions at the cost of Scripture, and I think this is just an example of that, exactly. So what this specifically is, it's a document that is a social statement, whatever that means, and there's a couple of basic commitments in the social statement that relate to seeking mutual understanding with people from other religions and to cooperate with neighbors of other religions.
How did you seek to amend that declaration?
Well, as I was going through this document, and frankly other documents that were being prepared and presented there, I was trying to find something, because I had come to the same conclusion, although I hadn't actually heard that gentleman speak before. And so I was actually looking for a particular passage where I felt like I could, I don't want to say trap, but I could force the issue, and I could find something in one of these statements that was controversial on the surface, but would require the assembly to repudiate Scripture. So what I had found in this one was basically a statement, I think it was the proposed amendment was from lines 630 on in that document. I don't know if you've seen the document. And then I tried to, because we only had 2 minutes to speak, I tried to limit it to one particular sentence, which says that we must be careful about claiming to know God's judgments regarding another religion or the individual human beings who practice it. And I basically sought to strike out that entire section. I didn't seek to change the statement because I didn't feel like, I felt that was just too big of an issue, and I wanted to make it a very narrow issue to sort of, you know, like I said, force the issue. That was the proposed amendment. I submitted it in writing after the hearings, which were held, I think, the night before or 2 nights before. So I followed all the procedures. And so they had to put it up on the screen, and they responded to it negatively.
Why did you think that that amendment was necessary?
Well, I felt it was necessary because I didn't feel as though the ELCA should be putting statements like that out. I think they're damaging. I think they're damaging to Bible-believing Christians. I think they're damaging to the people who are attending the church. I think they're damaging in that it shows just the utter lack of knowledge and disregard for the Scripture. I just didn't think it was in the ELCA's best interest to have a statement like that contained in one of their social statements.
Bishop Patricia Lowell was the chair of the Ad Hoc Interreligious Task Force Committee. What was her reaction to your proposed amendment?
Well, it was negative. And the morning that we, and I say we, there was another gentleman there from Wisconsin who agreed with me. Of course, they, through parliamentary procedure, were able to shut him down, and so he wasn't able to speak. But so I say we were about to make this proposed amendment on the floor after it had been rejected by Bishop Lowell in the committee, and she approached me and, you know, wanted to, I guess, talk about it. But I just found it to be almost surreal that, you know, I'm sitting here debating someone who is the bishop of St. Paul, and I'm the one of the two of us who appears to, I don't want to say no more, but who appears to have a better understanding of the plain import of Scripture. She was trying to talk me, essentially trying to talk me out of making the amendment, or trying to explain to me how the amendment was somehow improper.
How did that famous statement by Jesus in John 14:6 figure in, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me"? How did that figure into this discussion?
Well, I think it's very clear. We do know what God thinks about other religions. That's just one example. There's many other examples in the Gospel of John and throughout Scripture that says, I mean, basically, hey, we have to believe in Jesus if we want to find salvation. I mean, isn't that a basic truth that all Christians have to accept? I mean, it's not open to debate. And so when we have statements like that, I think I said in you know, when I was addressing the assembly, I said, we know that Scripture is essentially written by God, and we know that Jesus is God. And so when God reports on what God says, it has to be true, right? I mean, if we're going to believe this, it has to be true. And so if there is a religion out there, which we know there are many, that does not require faith in Jesus for salvation, then that must be a false religion. So we simply cannot say, if we are going to be faithful to our gospel and to our Christian religion, we cannot say that we don't know God's judgments regarding another religion.
After you read your amendment, Pastor Jennifer Crean stated, quote, "Frankly, I'm embarrassed that we are having this conversation right now in front of all of our interfaith guests." What did you make of that statement?
Oh, I thought it was ridiculous. I mean, she said that, oh, I believe, you know, I mean, she sort of paid lip service to the gospel and to Scripture, but then she said she was essentially ashamed of what I had said. She didn't address the merits of it. She basically just said that, well, we have all of these people standing on stage and you shouldn't be quoting Scripture or whatever her problem was in front of these people of other faiths, which if you think about it, it's wrong on so many levels, what she said. And now that's a pastor. Just think about that. That's an ELCA pastor who is making a comment like that.
What was the vote total for your amendment?
It was overwhelmingly rejected. I think it may have been 23 votes in favor of it, and there was over 900 voting members.
I believe that the vote was registered by the delegates there raising red cards. There was a lot of reference to a sea of red cards that appeared in rejection of your amendment. What did that feel like to see that sea of red cards?
It felt terrible. And I think with that red card, so what they did was, as soon as I had made my statement and they had that pastor from Southern California read her response, then they had another gentleman there immediately jump up and move to end debate. And I think that's what they were flashing those cards for. So they actually used the voting machine to vote on the amendment, but they cut off all further debate, and I thought it was unfair. We had another gentleman from Wisconsin who intended to speak in favor of the amendment, but sadly, they cut off debate. I think they felt that it was embarrassing. And so, yes, it did not feel good. It felt the opposite of that.
Did you feel alone standing there making this biblical confession that, as you pointed out before, is so fundamental and basic to the claims of Christianity and of Scripture?
Well, I didn't feel entirely alone because I felt, at the time that I was making this amendment, I felt inspired to do it. And I felt that the Holy Spirit was with me. There was a gentleman from Wisconsin who was there also, who was in favor of the amendment and who I had talked to. He was actually standing behind me. He was silenced. So I didn't feel alone in that sense. I mean, I felt completely outnumbered. But, you know, the truth is the truth. And if I have to be alone or outnumbered in telling the truth, then I have to tell the truth.
So you felt outnumbered but not alone. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yes.
You're a layperson. Were you disappointed in the lack of public support that you received from ELCA pastors? In fact, the opposition that you received from ELCA pastors?
Well, yes. And I thought that was shameful. Even if they disagreed with me, which I can't see how a Christian could disagree with me on that point. I don't mean to say that I'm an expert or I'm a pastor or I know more than anyone else. I can read the scripture just like anyone else, though, and that is a plain and simple statement. And so if a pastor disagreed with it, I would question whether the person was a Christian. But even so, the role of the pastor is not to condemn or criticize the scripture. And if it comes from a layperson, if they think that I'm wrong, well, then maybe they should come to me and explain to me why I'm wrong. And rather than the reaction was, this is horrible, this is embarrassing, I can't believe this person was saying these things, and not coming to me personally, you know. I mean, the only one who ever came to me personally in opposition to it was that bishop who came in the morning before the amendment was put on the floor. And there was another gentleman there, I didn't catch his name, from the Luther Seminary, who talked to me about it after I had made the motion on the floor. But, you know, none of these pastors who were commenting on Twitter and elsewhere, I think, would have the guts to confront me about it, because I just can't imagine what they would say.
We're talking about the 2019 Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Zachary Johnson is our guest delegate to the ELCA Churchwide Assembly and an attorney in Minnesota. On the other side, we'll have him tell us about the social media reaction that he did get.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union offers mortgage and auto loans, checking and savings accounts, credit and debit cards. During August, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutheran Friends of the Deaf. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
As a Lutheran pastor, I believe in our confessions and believe in the gospel, but frankly, I am embarrassed that we are having this conversation right now in front of all of our interfaith guests. Our God is big enough for our family to include all of these interfaith siblings. Our God is big enough for us to admit that we do not know everything there is to know.
That's Pastor Jennifer Cryan of the Southwest California Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America speaking against an amendment proposed by our guest Zachary Johnson to acknowledge Jesus as the only way of salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. What we're seeing unfolding, not only in this last assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but over the last decades of that church body, is the direct fruit of something called gospel reductionism. You heard us say, I believe in our confessions in the gospel, not the word of God, because the ELCA has replaced the authority of God's word, Holy Scripture, with what they call the gospel, which is no longer the gospel in that church body. I proposed a little thought experiment in the latest Issues Etc. journal. What would a gospel reductionist edition of Luther's Small Catechism look like? Well, you can find out for yourself by reading the journal. It's absolutely free, and you subscribe at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red button on the right-hand side. Click on that, enter your email address, and we will send you absolutely free the online Issues Etc. journal containing my article, Luther's Small Catechism, Gospel Reductionist Edition. Zachary, before the break, you were talking about the various negative reactions you got primarily via social media on your proposed amendment. Tell us more about it.
Well, I sent over a bunch of screenshots and things that came off of Twitter. I mean, most of it hasn't even been deleted. There was one pastor, actually there were several pastors who commented on it, but one that comes to mind that was using profanity when it came to my amendment. I don't want to repeat what he said, but he used foul language in his disapproval of my amendment. Again, saying it was an embarrassment and that it shouldn't have been done in front of our inter-religious partners or whoever the people were on stage.
One of the social media reactions was saying, well, I feel sorry for Patricia Lowell having to read that amendment. It must have tasted like manure. That was, I think, what the commenter said. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I think if you read, and if you read the line that comes before that, now that the person who put that on Twitter is an ordained ELCA pastor. Just think about that. The amendment itself is very innocuous. I'm not trying to change their, you know, what they wrote. I'm not trying to say that the social statement is not necessary or that it's ridiculous that we're sitting here debating or having a social statement like this, which was pointless. All I'm trying to do is say, hey, look at this one little part here, okay, and hold that up to the light of Scripture and see if it will survive that. And it doesn't. That's what my amendment was. The majority of my amendment had to just was basic truths. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what this pastor says, this tastes like manure on his mouth, or on the bishop's mouth when she said it. To me, when if somebody says the gospel is like manure, I mean, that to me it's almost satanic to make a statement like that.
One of the characterizations of your proposed amendment was to call it white Christian supremacist nonsense. What's your reaction to that?
I just have to shake my head and wonder about that. I mean, Christian supremacy, it's an interesting way to put it, right? I think we all have to agree, if we are Christians, that Christianity is the one true and correct religion. And so in that sense, yes, Christianity is supreme over all other religions. I think she's using some strange terminology there. But then the white part, okay, now that's reflective of the rest of the, you know, some of the other stuff that came in at the assembly, which is just another can of worms, but that I don't really care to get into. But how race got involved in that comment is completely beyond me.
What did you learn about your church body at the General Assembly?
Well, I came to the conclusion that I don't believe that the ELCA is evangelical. If you break it down word by word, I don't believe that it's Lutheran. I mean, can we honestly say if we go back in time, and you know, if we had a time capsule and we presented these questions to Martin Luther, whether he would agree with what the ELCA is doing, I think it's clear that he would not. And I think it's dishonest for them to use and twist Martin Luther's words to seem to support their social issues, worldly issues, over the gospel. So I don't think it's evangelical. I don't think it's Lutheran. Is it Christian? You can judge for yourself. I personally am doubting that it is. I mean, I guess it's in America. That's about all you can say for it.
Why do you remain, or do you plan to remain, in the ELCA?
Here's the issue for me. I love my congregation. I live in a very small town, 3,500 people, northern Minnesota. I don't think that they understand fully the false teaching that comes out of the ELCA. I don't believe that the ELCA itself is representative of the members of my congregation. And it would simply hurt my heart to leave at a time like this. I lead a Bible study, a Genesis study, every Thursday, and we've had some good engagement. And I raise issues and I take positions that are different from what the ELCA teaches. And the way I see it is that I want to share the scriptures and be in fellowship with my congregation, and I don't want to leave just because the ELCA is so wrong on its theology. I feel like that's abandoning people and abandoning a congregation that doesn't deserve it.
What would you say, having gone through this experience, dealing directly with some of the leaders of the ELCA on the most basic truth claim in Christianity, that is the exclusive claim of Christ to be the only way of salvation for all sinners, what would you think about the future of the ELCA now?
Well, what would I say to them and what I think the future of it is are two different things. What I would say to them is that they ought to repent. I think a lot of the things that have been put forward in the ELCA are false. I think they're plainly false. I think they need to get their house in order and their theology in order. And I think they need to roll back on some of the things that they have said or done in the past. You know, there's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I have marked down, and it says that we all want progress, but progress means getting nearer to the place that you want to be. And I don't think that they're getting any nearer to the place that they want to be or that they should be as a Christian body. Now, that's what I would say, but where I think it's going, I think they're going to continue to push further and further and further and further into these, I mean, let's just say it what it is. It's a left-wing social issues, and it's going to continue to alienate people, and it's going to continue to push people further and further away from Scripture and further and further away from God. I think their numbers will decline for that reason. I don't know. I mean, it. You know, at some point, I suppose they're going to have to, I don't know what they'll do, but I don't see that their positions and the direction that they're going is a positive in any way.
Zachary Johnson is an attorney in Minnesota. He was a delegate to the ELCA's churchwide assembly. Zachary, thank you very much, and continue to make the good confession.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll get a biography of late 4th century, early 5th century Bishop Augustine of Hippo in North Africa. Our guest will be Pastor Will Whedon, and we'll discuss a defamation lawsuit filed against the Huffington Post for a story involving Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.